Well, today our text for the message today is Romans chapter 4, verse 17 through 25. And we're going to talk about how to believe God for a miracle. How many could say that you have truly experienced a miracle in your life? And that miracle came at the hand of God. You've seen miracles? Really? All right, so we're all on the same page here today. Is God still in the miracle working business? He is. That means when you get a bad report, you're facing a difficult situation, face it with faith. Because God can move and work in that situation and turn it around, bring good out of it. He can even perform a miracle. Well, in Romans 4, we're going to be looking at the man of faith, and his name is Abraham. Abraham is a model of faith for us. Before we look at Abraham, let's talk about the importance of faith for just a moment. I know I've talked about this a little bit in the past. 485 times in the New Testament, we find the word faith or the word believe. That's a lot. 485 times. There are over 60 references to believe or unbelief just in the book of Romans itself. Hebrews 11:6, do you have your handout? I put all these scriptures right on there so you can go back. These are key scriptures with regard to faith. Romans 11:6 tells us that without faith it is impossible to what? Please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Watch me. You seek God, he'll reward you. I said, if you seek God, he's going to bless your life. So that tells me faith is important to please God, and that if I have faith, God will honor my faith. The Bible says that in Romans 14:23, whatever is not of faith is sin. I didn't read the whole verse to you, but you can read it yourself. Whatever is not of faith is sin. So that tells me if I want to live a life that's pleasing to God, if I want to overcome sin, it's going to take faith, right? Matthew 9:29 speaks of two blind men who came to Jesus and asked him to heal them. Now, if I was blind, I'd want to be healed. When I was facing a bad report from the doctor, I was like, "What'd you say? Hey, please, you didn't say that." Yes, I did. Well, you know what? They said it's not going to get better. Well, I took that for about 2 seconds. I rolled over on the other side of the hospital bed and said, I'm going to trust God to do a miracle. And he did a miracle in my life. I'm a living, breathing miracle of God. And he said these words. Jesus said these words to the blind men, and he touched their eyes, and he said, be it done to you according to your faith. Be it done to you according to your faith. Or in other words, your faith determines the amount of blessing that you have in your life. The amount of power that you have from God and blessing is determined by your faith. You say, I don't have much faith. Well, listen to this verse. Matthew 17:20. I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here and go there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Say that with me. Nothing will be impossible for you. So faith solves impossible problems. It shrinks the problem down to a size that you can handle. Matthew 21:22. If you believe receive. Whatever you ask for in prayer. How many need a blessing from God? How many need provision from God? How many need something from the Lord that you don't have right now, but you know it's good, and you know it's something that would better your life? Well, I'm telling you that God can bring that blessing to pass in your life. How many need God to do something in you that will help you to be a better person? That's right. It takes faith. So the condition is for answered prayer is believing. It's the key. And the Bible says if you don't believe, you're not going to get it. If you don't have faith, you won't receive. Now, this verse that I'm going to read to you now is it's one of those wow verses. John 14:12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, these are the words of Jesus, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. That is absolutely amazing. Faith is the basis for miracles. He says he who believes will do the things that I'm doing. In fact, he will do even greater things than I am doing. I ask you, how many of you walked on water lately? I haven't. How many have fed 5,000? No? Okay. Jesus said, if you believe, you'll do the things that I'm doing, and you'll do even greater things than these. So I ask you, how is that possible? Now we come to Romans 1:17. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. That's a miracle. That you can be righteous. That's the greatest miracle of all, isn't it? Now how many want to stand up and testify about all the things you've done that are sinful? Nobody. But to know that God, through his saving work through his Son, can make you righteous. That you stand before a holy God, and he does not see your sin, but he sees you as a forgiven child of God who has entrance into heaven and eternal life. How many are glad you're saved today? How many are glad you're on your way to heaven? I'll tell you what, if I get hit by a Mack truck today, I know where I am going to end up because of the righteousness that is mine in Christ Jesus. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Faith's pretty important, isn't it? He says, from first to last, the beginning, the middle, the end, it's all faith. I cannot live this Christian life without faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So when we think about a miracle, let me ask, what is a miracle? Romans, Paul, in chapter 4, verse 17, defines a miracle for us. So I want us to read it. And it's chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I've made you the father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. A miracle, listen, is when God gives life to things that are dead. That's a miracle. When God brings life out of dead things. And secondly, a miracle is when he calls things that are not as though they were. Two types of miracles. He gives life to something that's dead. How many know God specializes in bringing life out of dead things? He does it physically through healing or the restoration of the physical body. When you get a bad report from the doctor, it's the doctor's report. It's not God's report. It doesn't have to be the final report. How many know God can bring healing to your physical body? He can cause something that is dead to come back to life. When I had my heart attack, he said, you've damaged portions of your heart. It'll never function right again. So if I get a report like that, do I have to believe that? It might be true, but how many know that I serve a God who can bring life to dead things? And so if I have faith, if I believe, and if others believe with me, and we pray, and I do the right thing to take care of myself, God can do a miracle and bring life to something that is not functioning properly. He does it emotionally. He does it relationally. A marriage that is being restored. A marriage that is being resurrected. How many know he can do that? He can bring healing to a marriage. He does it spiritually when God gives new life to a person who is lost. If you're saved today, if you're a born-again believer today, a miracle has transpired in you spiritually, and God brought that which was dead, he brought it back to life. And God can do it for a church, too. How many have ever been in a dead church? When a dead church gets life, we call that revival. And that's what we ought to pray for. Yeah, not that we're a dead church, but we want to continually be revived with the life that God has for us. The second part of a miracle is when God creates something out of nothing. It's not dead. It's not there. And he creates something out of nothing. Verse 17, he calls those things that are not as though they were. Another translation says he calls into being that which does not exist. That's a miracle. You know, when a husband and a wife, they want to have a baby, and the doctor says, ain't going to happen. It's not going to work. The natural processes are not going to provide a baby for you. And people pray, and God causes something to come into existence that was not there. That is a miracle. When the pastor has to have a CAT scan on his brain and they find something there, that's a miracle. Look what the Lord has done. So two types of miracles, right? One is a resurrection. And one is a creation. God can do both. He can revive and renew and resurrect. And he can cause something to be there that was not. Oh, let me tell you a quick story. I got to be quick. But I went down to the Bible college in Waxahachie, Texas. And I took my checkbook. And I was going to pay my school bill. Because there was a school bill. I knew if I wrote the check, I wouldn't have any money left for anything else. But I knew I had a responsibility to write to pay for it. So I was going to pay for it. I went down there, and I said, will you pull up my bill? They went, and they looked. They said, sorry, you don't owe us any money. And I said, well, I know I do, so would you check it again? And they went and checked it, and they said, you know, you don't owe us any money, but we just discovered we owe you some money. I put my checkbook back in my pocket. And I said, well, I've got time. Why don't you go ahead and just write that check right now? See? God, I don't know how it happened. I don't know how it happened, but God did a miracle. God put something in my account that wasn't there before. Because I was up on it. I knew what I owed, and I was going to pay it. Now let's look back at our text, because really the text is really the most important. And then I'm going to talk about three phases of faith. There are really six, but I don't have time to give them all to you today. I know the Chiefs are playing here in a little bit. Some of you might be interested in that. And the rest of you, if you want to stay in, I can preach all day if you want me to, but we won't. All right, verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham and hope believed. So became the father of many nations. Just as it has been said, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. Ooh, that would be a good verse to memorize. I want you to hear what God is saying today. Fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. What have I been telling you through this whole series of messages? That we need to know the promises of God, and we need to believe that God has the power to do what he promised that he would do. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. And it will be credited to you as righteousness when you have the faith to believe that God has the power to fulfill his promises. I want us to look at Abraham's life quickly this morning, and I want us to see the process of faith that took place in Abraham's life. I'll start this today, finish it next week. When God does a miracle, he often goes through a stage or a phase. There's a process that he goes through, and Abraham is the example of this process. It begins in Genesis chapter 12. And there the Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, your father's household, go to the land I will show you. I'll make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the people on the earth will be blessed through you. Every miracle starts with a dream, a vision. God gives you a dream and a goal, something that captures your attention. In this case, God told Abraham, I'm going to give you a land, and I'm going to make you a great nation. That was a promise. At that time, Abraham was 75 years old. He was already up in years when God made this promise to him. And what was the problem with the promise? 75 years old and no children. And God says, how would you like to be Abraham, 75 years old? And you're ready to draw Social Security. And he says, no, you're going to have social insecurity. He's ready to hang it on the wall, and God says, no, take it off the wall. We're going to leave this place, and we're going to go to another, and then I'm going to make out of your seed a great nation. And he doesn't have any children. 75. How would you like to be Abraham, 75 years old, and go tell your wife about the dream God just gave you? Yeah, yeah. She was barren. And if you're barren at 75, you know it. I've never been barren, never been a woman. But if I was a woman, I was barren, and I was 75 years old, I don't need anybody to come and tell me I'm going to have a baby. Right? So Abraham left as the Lord told him. And Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. The second stage in a miracle is a decision. Am I going to obey God or not? Am I going to do what God tells me to do? Many of the miracles that God wants to do in your life are dependent upon your obedience to his known will in your life. Did you hear me? I mean, this isn't, if you want God's miracle working power in your life, it's not like you just snap your fingers. No. God will give you a dream, but you got to make up your mind. Am I going to follow God, or am I just going to drift away and do my own thing? Some of you have been in difficult circumstances. And, you know, we've all been there. Many of us might be there right now. You may be facing a hardship, a trial. I mean, if you told your story, we would you know, we'd check our head and feel sorry for you. But listen, God wants to deliver you. God wants to take you out of where you've been and bring you to a better place. Are you with me? And God wants to take you out of darkness and into light. God wants to take you out of the dry place and take you into the place that's filled with blessing and filled with fruitfulness. God wants to do a miracle. If you've been bound, he wants to set you free. If you've been sick, he wants to heal you. If you've been living without, he wants to give you plenty. If you've been constantly giving in to, and you've got a defeated mentality, God wants to lift you out of that. But you have got to make a decision. Am I going to serve God or am I going to live for myself? Because I guarantee you, if you'll live for God and you'll honor the Lord, and you will love Jesus with all your heart, and you'll obey him and do what he wants you to do, then your life's going to change. It's going to change for the better. It's going to look better, going to feel better, and it's going to be better. How many here today have served God, and your life is better for it? That's right. That's right. He can break the chains in your life, and he can get you back to a good place. But you got to make a decision. See, faith is a verb. Verb means action. It's not passive. You can't just sit back, coast, and just, well, what will be, will be. Let me tell you something. You only slide one way. You got to make up your mind that no matter what, you're going to serve God. No matter what it takes. I don't care if every devil in hell lines up in front of me to prevent me from serving God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. And I am going to go for God, and I'm going to go with all that I have, and I'm going to serve the Lord. And nobody is going to keep me from God's blessing in my life. Amen? All right. So in Abraham's case, he had to leave his family. He had to leave his heritage. He had to leave his homeland in order to obey God. Number three, the last one. I still got plenty of time, so I'm doing good. Good preaching, Pastor. You just keep that up. I'm going to have to get my preaching towel back out. I'm starting to sweat up here. Stage three is delay. Uh-oh. We're in for a delay. Anybody like a delay? No. We want it. We want it now. How many ever stand in front of the microwave and punch the buttons and tell it to hurry up? What's that? Yeah, I thought you said you. I thought you were saying you. Yeah, I saw you do that, Pastor. You're right, I do. I stand in front of the microwave. Hurry up, hurry up. Yeah. You heard about the guy who said, Lord, give me patience, but hurry up. Yeah. The problem we have in living by faith is we get impatient. There is often a delay in God's timetable of how and when he performs a miracle in your life. Chapter 15 of Genesis, we're following the story of Abraham. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir. Sometimes you've just got to hold on to the promise of God. And when there's a delay, you've got to hold on to what God has promised in faith to give you. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside, and he gave him an object lesson. What did he say? Look up. Look up at the heavens. Count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him righteousness. Now, when I was in Chile, South America, it was unbelievable. Looked up at night, and I had never seen so many stars in all my life. I would go back to Chile tomorrow on a trip just to lay on my back on the ground and see the vastness of the stars that filled the sky. And I imagine it was just like that for Abraham. God put him flat on his back, and he said, look up. If you could count those stars, which Abraham, you can't, so shall your offspring be. And how did Abraham respond? Well, it says here, God, he believed, Abram believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Man, I wish it was that easy. But Abraham believed God. You know what I've discovered, Gary, is the more of God's word I put in my heart and the more of God's word that I read, meditate on, memorize, and speak, it builds faith in my life. The more time I spend in God's presence, worshiping the Lord, honoring the Lord, putting God first in my life, the more I give, the more I sacrifice, the more my faith begins to rise up. When I feed my faith, guess what happens? It grows. And then I can be like Abraham. I can face adversity. I can face a delay. And I can say, okay, Lord, just as you said, it's going to happen. Now, why do I call this delay? Well, in this instance, God comes back to Abram and gives him the same promise. I'm going to make you a great nation. This is 11 years later after the first promise. Abram is now 86 years old. And he repeats the promise. Abraham, I'm still going to give you that child, and out of that seed will come a great nation. And I'm sure Abram was saying, God, what's the problem here? What's the delay? Why is this taking so long? And so in order to increase his faith, he says, look up in the stars, and I already told you about that. And why did God do that? Why did God take him outside and say, look up into the stars? It's an important step in the faith process. God wants you to visualize it before you receive it. God wants you to see it before you have it. God wants you to see your problem through the eyes of faith. You have to know that it's from God. So every night as Abraham went to bed, he laid back, he looked at the skies, he saw his future. It was a constant reminder to him of what God was going to do in his life. And for me, I don't sleep outside. So I'm not every night looking up at the stars, but I've got to have something in my life that builds my faith, reminds me of the promises of God, reminds me of what God said he would do in my life, and I need to claim those promises. I need to hold on to the promises of God. Now, when there's a delay, and I have to move quickly, there are two or three typical reactions. One is to doubt. One is doubt. In verse 8 of chapter 15, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? He's doubting. It's a typical reaction. The second is despair. I know nobody's ever experienced this, but this is when you get down, you begin to lose hope, you begin to lose faith, you begin to be impatient, and you just get defeated. The third reaction is detour. Now, this is interesting. That's what happened to Abraham. He got impatient. He thought, this is not happening. I don't have any kids. I'm not getting in any younger. So I better help God out. Have you ever tried to help God? It doesn't work. In fact, in chapter 16, we have the famous detour. Sarah, Abraham's wife, I'm going to summarize it for you. She went to Abraham and said, I'm no spring chicken. I haven't been able to bear you a child, so why don't you take my handmaiden and have a child through her? Hagar bore him a son. His name is Ishmael. He's the father of the Arabs. The Middle East is still paying for that problem today. He got ahead of God. How many times do we do that?
We get ahead. We believe God, but we try to help God out a little bit. But the fact is, you cannot hurry God. Did you hear me? There was a famous preacher by the name of Philip Brooks. He was known for his calmness and poise. His close friends knew him. They knew that he also, from time to time, would suffer from frustration and irritability. One day, a friend saw him pacing the floor like a caged lion. And they said, "Dr. Brooks, what's the problem?" And Dr. Brooks said, "The trouble is, I'm in a hurry, but God isn't." That's right. That's right. Let me tell you that the promises of God often develop slowly because his grand designs are never hurried. Let me give you some illustrations. Some of the greatest missionaries of history devoutly spread God's word, yet they had to wait for years and years and years to see the fruit of their efforts. William Carey, for example, labored 7 years before the first Hindu convert was brought to Christ in Burma. Adoniram Judson toiled 7 years before his preaching was rewarded. In West Africa, it was 14 years before one convert received Christ in the Christian church. In New Zealand, it took 9 years. In Tahiti, it was 16 years before they saw a harvest. What's the problem? We often give up before the harvest comes. Hebrews tells us something very important. Hebrews 12:1, run with endurance the race set before us. Run with endurance. George Matheson wrote these words about that passage. We commonly associate patience with lying down. We think of it as the angel that guards the couch of the invalid. Yet there is a patience that I believe to be harder. The patience that can run. I like that. Patience that runs. To lie down in the time of grief, to be quiet under the stroke of adverse fortune, implies great strength. But I know of something that implies a strength greater still. It's the power to work under stress, to have a great weight at your heart, and to still run, to have a deep anguish in your spirit, and still perform the daily duties that are before you. It takes great courage to run with endurance. And I want to close by talking about Abraham and a story about Abraham. It's a traditional story. We don't know if it's actually true, but it's a great story with a great message. So we could read it like a parable. Abraham was sitting outside his tent one evening when he saw an old man, weary from age and journey, coming towards him. Abraham rushed out, greeted him, and then invited him into the tent. There he washed the old man's feet, gave him food, and gave him drink. The old man immediately began eating without saying a prayer or a blessing. And Abraham asked, "Don't you worship God?" The old traveler replied, "I worship fire and fire only, and reverence no other God." When he heard this, Abraham became incensed. Grabbed the old man by the shoulders, threw him out of his tent into the cold night air. And when the old man had departed, God called to Abraham and said, "Where's the stranger?" And Abraham raised his shoulders and said, "I threw him out because he did not worship you." And God said these words, "I have suffered him these 80 years, although he dishonors me. Could you not endure him one night?" In other words, let me read it to you if you misunderstood that. I've had patience with him for 80 years, although he dishonors me. Could you not endure him one night? Friends, I'm telling you today, if we're going to have faith that moves mountains, then we're going to have a patience that runs. And we're going to have an endurance to stay in the fight. And we're going to even have to be patient with some people who we're not very pleased with and love them in spite of where they are. Because, you know, perhaps God could do a miracle in their life if you'll show some patience towards them. So what are the phases of faith that we're talking about today? Dream. What kind of dream has God given you for your life? I want you to think about that. Has God given you a dream? And then what kind of decisions do you need to make to pursue the dream that God has given you? And what kind of delay are you experiencing? And what is going to help you to get through the delay and to see God bring about a miracle in your life? We're tempted. We're so tempted in this life to give up on the dream. But I want to encourage you not to do that. Because God works through a process. And he wants to see how committed you are to that dream. How committed are you to him? And you know what? As I think about this church, if we're going to grow and move forward, we're going to see people saved and see this church filled again, then guess what? It's going to take a dream. And you're going to have to begin to have that dream before your eyes every day where you can remind yourself of what God can do. And you're going to have to make a decision to step up and to do some things that you know you need to do to make that dream a reality. And when there's a delay, when there's a difficulty, you can't just be one who throws in the towel. You have got to hold on and to be faithful and to run with endurance the race marked out for you. Let us pray.